welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. What significance blooms in athletics and sports? Well, tonight I'm off to Chicago. Yesterday I was invited to the Chicago Bears practice. I'm excited about that. Yeah, I remember Refrigerator Perry, the Chicago Shuffle. Yeah, those were the 80s, y'all. Actually, I want to say that was one of my first favorite teams. Yeah. So I'm going to a practice. The equipment manager for the Chicago Bears is a Hampton grad. And so, you know, when I travel, I have connecting events. And he's afraid that he may miss the connecting event. So he invited me, I'm a guest, to come to practice. So I'm excited about that. And, again, you never know when I come in town what may happen. You know what I'm saying? So my original reason for going to Chicago is to be a part of the NIL Combine. And I'm moderating a panel with three of our members, Dr. Monique Carroll, the athletic director at Chicago State, Andy Toran, the AD, University of Chicago, and Christina Minor, she's the compliance director at Northwestern. And so, you know, it's really a joy when an organizer says, oh, well, you just do your own panel and get your own guests. So you know there's always what I'm going to look for are my own members first. And, yeah, so I'm excited, and we're talking about NIL. So that is really, really great. It will be virtual and in person. Our student athletes are free. So, but they must register. They must register. So if you need to want the Chat in the Garden link for this event, whether virtual or in person, DM me or email me at MoniqueAJSmith@seasonempowerment.info so that I can get it in your hands before now, Thursday is virtual, so you want to get with me today so that you can be able to attend virtually when it starts virtually on Thursday, okay? So just glad to be able to bring that to you. And I don't think I shared this last week, but, yeah, I am. No? I didn't, so let me share it now. I will be in D.C. August the 5th on a Saturday, and the reason I thought about it is because it's another panel discussion, and I just found out that it's a whole bunch of us going to be there. So I'm excited about that, about really being with my sisters and whatnot. So I say that because today's guest is in the DMV area, and I wanted to make sure that those who are in D.C. would have the opportunity to come to another free event. That's the key thing. Another free event where it will be a panel of, I can't say black women. I think black women. But let's see. It looks like most of these women of color. Mentoring Women in Sports Leadership Summit. Saturday, August the 5th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's at the Colonial Heights Education Campus. That's Northwest D.C. And to register, go to bit.ly/womenleadsports. Now, when you do a bit.ly, it's really very important to have your capital letters and whatnot. It's very case sensitive. So you go to b.bit.ly/WWomen, LLEAD, and SSports. Again, bit.ly, bit.ly/women, W, lead, L, sports, S. And that's all one word. And I'm really excited about it because I see some people that are members of the Garden. So also joining me on the panel, and I believe it's going to be more than one, since it's from 10 to 1 and minus the first one. Excuse me. Tara Owens, Athletic Director at University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Oh, I'm so excited about this. Corliss Fingers, Bethune-Cookman University. She's a strength and conditioning coach. She's one of the few black women in this role across the country. All right? And then Denise Brown Lozetto she's in one of our magazines. She's at Howard. She will be there. Oh, goodness. Great about this. Chanel Reynolds of the Washington Commanders. That's going to be great. I've done some work with her. I did subcontracting for her. She did DEI, and I had a contract, and I had her fulfill the contract for me. So glad to be able to see her in person. And Pat Thomas, the athletic director at UDC. And here's the beautiful part. You know, when you partner with me, again, I make sure that I share the stage. So one of our media partners, meaning they help sponsor this podcast, Candy Waller of Seawall Sports Entertainment will also be on the panel. So again, August the 5th, meet me in D.C. Northwest. Register is free. But you do have to register at bit.ly/womenleadsports. So, yes, when today starts my world marathon across the country, doing my thing. But I do want to share some announcements with you, and hopefully you will take part in this. Beverly & Associates has an opportunity for you to lead the Reggie Center in Boston, Massachusetts, as Executive Director of the Reggie Lewis Track and Athletic Center. For more information, contact Dr. Sharon Beverly at beverlyassociates.net. Another individual who has chosen Chattanooga Garden to share their product is Dr. Stephanie Coakley. She is Assistant Athletic Director at Temple University. But what I want to share with you, she's an author. This is not any author, but a children's author. So she has written the book, Ty the Dreamer, a must-read to the little ones in your life. Ty the Dreamer is a regular rotation at bedtime in our home. It's a fun storybook that brings tears in my eyes when I think of the similar relationship dynamics with my daughter. Let me be clear, this is a review. I have no children. The significant father and daughter bond in Black and White is an undercurrent that rides along a lesson learned with Ty's broken clock. I encourage you to nurture the kid within by not only reading but also exploring Ty and her dad's story. Get your copy today at Amazon. Now, here's the interesting thing. One of my classmates from Hampton University is her publisher. Man, you just full circle. I'm just excited about this. But we really do need support, Dr. Coakley. So if you know someone that has a young person who is of reading age or is not a reading age, because I used to love the book time. getting, and that's, I think that's why to this day I listen to an audio book before I go to sleep. You need to plant that seed of loving stories. Get this book today. It's called Ty, T-Y-E, The Dreamer by Dr. Stephanie Coakley. One of your own today for a young person or an adult who has a young person in the house. Another book that I actually pitched, I'm doing one of my own podcasts. I was a guest on a podcast, and the podcast was about mindset. But really, it was for about mindset and young athletes. And, you know, young people are not necessarily my audience. The people leading young people are my audience. And so I mentioned that this book would be really great because the author of this book, Aisha Foy, like all of us, started out as children, but she was an elite athlete. And then you know how when they become an elite athlete and you go to college and they got to start all over again, and they have not been familiar with failure, and they, as the kids say, they wild out. Well, she kind of wild out. And then she caught the reading bug. She caught the leadership bug. She caught the professional development bug. So the name of her book is Success is My Major. Aisha Foy has a great professional development book that I use in my executive coaching. And it's really great for if you have a staff member who has been working less than 5 years in the business. And I actually, one of my other clients is going to utilize this book with their freshmen. Freshman student athletes to help them navigate this new world. And so, and the book is actually called, if you, and I say this because this is what she calls them, elite. Come in entitled and leave unforgettable. That's powerful. So, again, if you have an entitled staff member and you have a generational gap, this book is a great book to turn that corner. Let the printed word say what you can. So this book is available at successismymajor.com. Successismymajor.com. And I often give this book as gifts, to my clients. And I'm going to send it off to a conference office because I really want her to utilize this young lady as a speaker, because she's a great example. And it's funny, so when I was doing the podcast and I spoke about it and being interviewed, the interviewee knew exactly who I was talking about. So get on board. I know this is really far out, but I want you to put on your calendar October 6th and 8th. Again, if you are listening from the DMV area, October 6th and 8th in Baltimore, Maryland, I am a media partner for Get in the Game Sports Career Conference. Really excited about that as well. Looking forward to announcing speakers. And, of course, I did send my recommendations for speakers. So you need to get on board. If this is something you want to hit the marketplace, you need to contact me. Because, again, these conferences are asking, which I love it, because, you know, I'm trying to paint them with all women of color, especially women of color who have not had an opportunity to hit the platform. And because they're going to know where we are. Yes, they're going to know where we are. So if this is something that you want to get your student athletes involved in or your sports management majors involved in, go and get more information at getinthegameconference.net. Getinthegameconference.net. Okay. Oh, happy birthday. I think it was yesterday. Alva Amaker, I think Yeah, we're the same age, or one of us above each other, or something like that. But that's one of my closest client friends, and just really happy and looking forward to share the expansion of her educational risk management consulting firm called Vigilant Safety Training. And I just think I posted yesterday about, and prayers go out to the LeBron James family with their son having cardiac arrest doing, I don't know if you can call it practice, preseason, some type of athletic activity. His son is going to be a freshman at USC. And the question I posed inside the group, which I did that because I asked Alva to do it, but I forgot it was her birthday. But it started discussion. And I think one young person said, my question was, are you prepared if this should happen on your campus? And the reason why I said that, because school hasn't started, number one. We're not in preseason. And now it's really basically like volunteer time. So do you have athletic trainer allocated for such times as that? Because if they were not in the facility or been there, that young man might not have had the outcome that he has. And I was just planting a seed. I mean, young lady said, oh, yes, we do. And I'm going like, she says they do. And she says it's like it's obvious. But then a seasoned athletic trainer for like almost 20 years, she's talking about how D2, you don't have that coverage. And so you really need to use these opportunities to ask the question, if this should happen on our campus, are we prepared? Honestly, that's how I've ever been able to move some change. When you put people on the spot based on something that just happened, I did a lot in compliance. You don't want this to be us. Allow that opportunity to get you some folks on the books for volunteer practice. Do you know when the volunteer practice are? Are your athletic trainers available? Do you have enough? There is a formula. There is a formula. So, again, this is why Alva being, you know, in my back pocket, it's like she says policies to practice. And this is what I said even in the Facebook group. I said, well, you say, you know, it's a policy. She's like, well, that's a policy everywhere to have an ATC. I said, I know it's policy, but is it practice? I don't think she caught what I was trying to say. So those that know what I'm talking about, you need to use this event, this joyous event, the young man is out of ICU, to ask the question on your campus, are we, that's my semi-commercial to this, if you need to figure out what else you're missing, Alva has several trainings. She has first responder training, which is what I'm talking about, first responder training. And if you don't have it, if you don't know how you're going to respond, you need to contact Alva to at least get that now. All right? So you can go to the website, go to Vigilance, VigilanceSTC.com, VigilanceSTC.com. You need to use this to find out where you are. And my next to last, another book that I swear by is Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Ruin the Curse by Tawana Smith. This book came out before the pandemic, and the NFL actually purchased the book for all of the participants in the Celebration Bowl, before there was NIL. So now that the NIL is here and our athletes can receive income, which doesn't make them a pro, but it does mean that they are in the curse area, because the curse stands for getting money and then losing money and not understanding all the ramifications. So I learned a lot from reading Tawana Smith's book. And if you're like me, your former student athletes will come to you and ask you, do you know, can I send it to you? I'm getting that now. You need to be able to have a resource for them. And I have given this book to several of my athletes. No, didn't give. I recommend them to purchase. And you can purchase Surviving Life, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Run the Curse by Tawana Smith on Amazon. And it's in three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. Get your copy today. You heard me mention Seawall Foundation, Seawall, Candy Waller. She is one of our media partners, and I'm excited about her being on the stage with me August the 5th. But you can bring her to your campus. She's doing media training for student-athletes with name, image, and likeness on deck. This is so important because our young people need to know how they're branding themselves and how they sound and what they say. And to be honest, if they try to copycat our professional athletes, they're going to put themselves in a detrimental place. And even AAU have shows and whatnot, you know, after the game is over. And how do they interview? That's a lot to do, honestly, with the recruiting process. So, Candy Wall, the founder, has extensive background because she owns Seawall Sports Entertainment. She does cover all professional sports in the DMV. Now she's branching out, preparing our players for lights, camera, action, so we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. For more information, go to info@seawallfoundation.org. And as I mentioned, I'm traveling tonight, and I'll be traveling, actually, from between now and August the 9th. So Meet the Contributors will have to resume mid-August, But in the meantime, go in the private Facebook group and check out our Facebook Live with our contributors from, actually, issue 1 through 5. But I just got the proof today for the 6th issue. So hopefully that will be live the first week in August on Amazon. But this will be the last week to make your purchase for the pre-sale for the 6th issue that features Dr. Renee Miles, the new president of MOA. And she is also the new athletic director at Fort Valley State University. So now comes the time to bring my guest of the hour up. Tiana May, Assistant Director and Learning Specialist for Towson University. Welcome to the garden, Tiana. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, did I say your name right?
Kayetta.
Kayetta. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. Just busy,
man,
but doing good.
Oh, yeah, I know it's a busy time for you. I appreciate you taking time out. We've been trying to get this in for some time now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have got a very, very interesting journey that I really can't wait for these other folks to hear. So let's start with your journey from college to your current position.
Okay, so I got a volleyball scholarship to Alabama A&M to play for Betty Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing with that was that I was more so interested in playing basketball, and so I was getting some looks to play basketball, but I found out that Miss Austin was recruiting me as well, and so when I went on the visit, I just knew immediately that I would go to Alabama A&M just because of the dynamics and the warmth. So that kind of made me make my decision as far as to play volleyball versus basketball. And then after, you know, spending 4 years at A&M and winning a couple SWAC championships, I got my degree in environmental science with a minor in chemistry. I worked for I worked in Atlanta for a couple years as a chemist, but then I moved back to the St. Louis area once I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. So I didn't want to work in the lab because I was working with chemicals. So I just, you know, didn't want to take that risk. So I moved back to the St. Louis area. And that's when I took a job at Harris Stowe State University and worked as an educational advisor for the talent search program, where I worked with middle school and high school kids. And also I coached at Harris Stowe. So that's when I kind of got my first start in college athletics, was at Harris Stowe.
Okay, keep going.
Yep, and then from that, what was interesting was my boss for educational talent search, you know, she was just like, you know, Kayetta, I would really hate to, hate to lose you, but, you know, it seems like, you know, the coaching is, you know, your thing, and it seems like the coaching is your calling. So from that, and I knew at that point I kind of wanted to relocate too. So that's when I kind of, you know, put myself out there and applied to a handful of schools and ended up landing at Kentucky State. And I worked for Dorita Radcliffe. And that was just a great experience. I think for me, it probably was my most fun experience. It was just really family oriented. At that time, my daughter was probably like 3 years old. And so that was just a great experience as far as the camaraderie and the support that I had there. And going into that program, I didn't, you know, expect much success so quickly. But the kids that I had, they just really bought in. I recruited a few kids from back home from East St. Louis High School. One was Brittany Stewart, and she's currently working in athletics at Harris Stowe. And so they really, you know, just bought in and were just great kids to coach. And we ended up doing some great things at Kentucky State, and we won a couple championships there. And then from Kentucky State, I ended up going over to the University of Arkansas, Pine Bluff. And I had a few of my freshmen that I won that final championship with at Kentucky State. A handful of them, they followed me to UAPB. So that was another fun experience, too. I enjoyed my time in Pine Bluff. I worked for Lonza Hardy and then Elise Kilbert that's at Jackson State. She was one of my superiors also. So I had some, you know, some great times coaching volleyball. I worked for some great people, and so it was really fun. And so I ended up coming to Coppin, worked for Derek Ramsey. I didn't work with him at Kentucky State, but he was familiar with a lot of people that I did work with. So that's why I took a leap of faith and came out east at Coppin State and was there for a couple seasons. And so what ended up happening was when I left Coppin State, my daughter, she's into theater arts. And so I was looking to move on, but She wanted to stay here in Maryland, and she ended up doing her research, and she wanted to go to this particular high school for theater and art. So I told her, you know, if she was to get into that high school, she auditioned, that I would stay here in Maryland, and that's kind of what happened, and that's how I ended up here staying. And so from that, I kind of went through just a period, you know, as far as trying to figure out what was next. Because with coaching, you know, you got to go where the jobs are. At that time, it wasn't, you know, anything in, you know, this area. And so I'm like, well, you know, what else could I do, you know, in college athletics? Because at that point for me, it was more so, you know, long as I'm in college athletics, it doesn't really matter whether, you know, whether it's coaching, whether it's not. And so they were looking for an academic advisor at Towson in the academic achievement department. And so I applied to that, and I've been here ever since. And so it's been a very interesting dynamic. And so I'm currently the assistant director and learning specialist in our academic achievement department, and I work with our men's and women's basketball program. So that's, you know, just interesting in itself, and it's fun. I think the main thing is that within this role, I've been able to kind of channel, you know, some of the same things that I did as a coach. Everybody kind of looks at me as, you know, their coach off the court. It's been very enjoyable, you know, working with those teams. So I've been enjoying it. And it's been 3 years since I've been here. So far, so good. I enjoy it. The kids respond well. And I think the fact of having the coaching background, it makes it easier for me to be in this role, because I just kind of get different responses when it comes to the athletes that I work with, and I can hold them accountable, you know, and they listen, and I can kind of help bridge that gap between them and coaching staff, you know, when things come up. So it's been, you know, it's been a very interesting ride, but I have been enjoying it.
So tell me, were you there when I did the staff retreat at Kentucky State?
No. I was at Pine Bluff when you came to Pine Bluff. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I was at Pine Bluff when you came to Pine Bluff.
Yeah, let me just say this. When you left Kentucky, you still left a good team because they were still winning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I went to Kentucky, I believe the athletic director was Denisha Hendricks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I did that one first, and then I came to Arkansas. And so you kind of knew of me. It was like we just clicked automatically. It was like, yeah, I know you. Da, 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 da. So. And I think, so when I came to the volleyball game at Norfolk State, were you at Compton at the time?
Yep. I was at Compton at the time.
So I've been following you for some time now. Volleyball's my favorite sport. Don't tell anybody, okay? But that's my favorite sport. Yeah.
And then, I remember... I was gonna say too. I remember what stood out to me at that game in Norfolk, because I had Kyler with me, remember you talking to Kyler, you know, just kind of you know, about pursuing certain things, and like she really took that conversation you had with her to heart, because at that time she was in middle school, and she wasn't really into sports per se, but she ended up being like her team's basketball manager and keeping stats, and so she really resonated. Yep, she really resonated with that conversation that you all had at that game.
Oh, Girl, you gave me goose pimples. That just makes me happy. Oh, my gosh. Because that's when I started keeping stats in the eighth grade.
Okay,
in
yep.
middle school. Wow. So I was going to ask you about that, but I'm going to stick with that line and come back to my questions later. So how did this theater thing? Are we going to be buying tickets to see her on the theater?
Hopefully so. So she auditioned, and that's what was so to me such a godsend, is that she had Towson down as one of her schools that she was looking at, and she had all these other schools as well, and so she ended up auditioning, and she was accepted into all the theater programs, but when she got into Towson's program, I'm like, okay, this is meant to be, it's just kind of too good to be, good to be true. And so it was one of those things where, like, I was telling her, I'm like, Kyla, you've actually been on college campuses with me since in the womb. So like, this is a blessing. And so she's been doing pretty good, with the theater program. She was in a play here her freshman year, which was good because a lot of freshmen don't get in. And then she also auditioned, so she'll be in a play this upcoming academic year too. And then with her, she just was telling me yesterday, because she works for a babysitting agency, as well as she's also a swim instructor, but with the babysitting agency, they want her to work with a couple daycares and teach the kids acting. So it's been a blessing, with working at Towson and her being able to, tap into her skills, and us kind of being able to be in, one place at one time. So it's been good.
Oh, my goodness. See, that was going to be my last question, but it's my first question. It was let's talk about being a mom in this business. And so you kind of answered that question, but would you say, because you just said she's been around, and I'm saying this for those, you didn't get out. And that's why, I mean, you can be a mom and still be in. And it benefits your child because they got confidence that's already built in them because they're already on a stage, per se. You know what I mean? No pun intended. But I was going to say, are you a stage mom?
You know what? I've become one, and I really have come to have a great appreciation for the arts. Like, it's a lot of work. I thought athletics was a lot of work, but the performing arts, that's a lot of work too. There's so much behind the scenes, things that take place, and so I have really become a fan for the performing arts, especially when she tries to have me to role play with her when she's trying to record, and I'm like, yeah, this is hard, how do you memorize all this stuff, and so yeah, I have grown to have a fine appreciation of it.
Wow. This is, I don't know if you can hear my grin, but I got a serious grin on over here. So let's back up and let's just talk about the elephant in the room. And I had a conversation. I've been working with this one person all summer, and she finally has gotten to the point that she knows that her whistle has been hung up. So when did you know it was time to put the whistle down?
I think my daughter had a lot to do with it. I think it it came down to I knew when she started middle school that I wanted her to at least go to the same middle school because when I took the job at Coppin, oh man, Kyler probably had gone to at least a handful of elementary schools, and so so I did know that, you know, when we moved here to Maryland and she started middle school, it was my goal, you know, that she finished and stayed at one middle school. And I said the same thing if she was to start high school, that I would allow her to, you know, finish and go to that high school. And then also I looked at it from the standpoint of, you know, that she had made so many sacrifices, you know, as a kid, that it was kind of my time to make the sacrifice, you know, for her. And so it just kind of came down to, because I get asked the question all the time, you know, are you going to go back to coaching? And I'm just like, you know, I'm not going to never say never, but I'm like, you know, I feel like in the role that I'm in, I'm a coach, you know, I'm still a coach, and I'm just a coach off the court. And so, and then especially since I've been at Towson, I just wasn't expecting to kind of still be in the disciplinarian role. And so so it's just like, you know, so I'm just like, you know, I'm going to embrace it. For me, you know, it doesn't matter whether, you know, I would have the whistle in my mouth or not. I'm still a coach at heart, and, you know, that's kind of how everybody sees me. So, you know, so I just think for me, the decision was, you know, as long as I can still put my hand on these young people, for me, it really doesn't matter in what capacity. So, and so that's kind of what made me make my decision was Kyler. And then as well as once I got into this role, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm able to kind of approach it in the same way because I'm hands-on, you know. And so a lot of the kids are like, you know, I'm super visible, you know, within this role. And my office is, I'm in the field house, and the teams that I work with, they're across the street. You know, so I go back and forth across the street, you know, I will pop up at practice. And so, you know, I try to travel with the team so that they know that, you know, I support them off the court, you know, so that if they feel like I support them, you know, all the way around, then it makes it easier for me to get them to do what they need to do. And so, you know, I think it's been a good decision. I don't have any regrets, but I think the main thing is that, you know, as long as you're able to, you know, to touch, you know, young people, I think that's what's the most important.
Well, I got some more questions for you, but we're going to take a short break in the chat in the garden. And when we return, we're going to really deep dive into what is a learning specialist.
Okay.
Give your little one the gift of reading with a copy of Ty the Dreamer, a delightful story of a lovable, brilliant daddy's girl and her cuddly, adorable cat. Ty the Dreamer teaches kids to achieve ambitious dreams, supported by loving fathers and strong communities. Available online at itascabooks.com, that's itascabooks.com. Ty the Dreamer is a perfect gift. Dream big with Ty the Dreamer.
Sharing an opportunity at Roxbury Community College as the executive director for the Reggie Lewis Track and Athletic Center, better known as the Reggie. Reporting to the president, this position will manage all facets of a complex facility with the support of full-time personnel. While the Reggie supports college, local, state, and national needs, the executive director must have an entrepreneurial mindset with a background in managing budgets and large facility events. If you're interested, visit the NACTA website, the Women Leaders website, or email sbeverly@beverlyandassociates.net.
Lead, but then we just can't breathe. We want someone to lead. We want your kung fu speed.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
Hey everyone, this is Yusuf Khan, CEO and founder of First & Pen, and I'm excited to invite you to the Get in the Game Sports Business Conference, where you'll have the opportunity to meet and hear from some of the best and brightest in the sports business industry and interact with some of the premier brands in sports. It all goes down October 6th through the 8th at the Sheraton Inner Harbor in Baltimore, Maryland. For event information, visit getinthegameconference.net or Get in the Game on Instagram and Twitter. So register now at getinthegameconference.net, and we'll see you there.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith with Smith & Blooms in Athletics and Sports. Well, let's talk about what is a learning specialist. Please tell us.
So a learning specialist is someone that works with those students that are having learning difficulties. You know, it may be a student, you know, that has developmental disabilities or educational disabilities, or, you know, students that may need accommodation. So it can be an array of things. And so typically what I do is just kind of work with those students one-on-one. It may be a thing with, you know, just trying to help them to develop different strategies, whether it's helping them with time management, whether it's breaking down assignments into small tasks, whether it's, you know, helping them to advocate for them, you know, for themselves, and just trying to help them to become independent learners. So that kind of, you know, that kind of sums it up. So it's kind of different in terms of quite different as far as a tutor versus a learning specialist. So with learning specialists, it's a little bit more that kind of goes into it. But to sum it up in a nutshell, it's pretty much just helping, you know, those at-risk students, mainly with just trying to break things down for them in simpler terms.
All right. So who, let's just say somebody that's in the K through 12 space, is this a good learning place for them to come into athletics?
Yeah, and so because when I first took this role, I wasn't 100% sure, and I didn't even know that they had, you know, learning specialists at the college level, because I have heard, you know, through the K through 12 level mainly, but so when I took on this role, I didn't realize, you know, that this was a thing at the college level, but it's very much so needed. From my experience, it truly is needed at the college level, you know, to help, you know, the student athletes, you know, that had those struggles in high school, you know, to help them transition, because, you know, just because they're coming from high school to college doesn't mean that those things, you know, go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so they still need, you know, the assistance to just kind of help them navigate, navigate through things.
Yeah, I do have a client that I'm trying to get from the high school level to the collegiate level. And she does work with, currently works with regular students that have learning disabilities. And I'm like, girl, you are needed over here.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to have her listen to this. Is there anything that, which one is the higher need? Is it in the reading? Because I know they got reading specialists. Math, do you attack all areas, or are you specifically to whatever the student is having a deficit in?
Pretty much whatever they have a deficit in, but I would say I see more of a challenge with the reading and writing. And so I'm finding myself, because I'm more of a, and I always have been, I'm more of a math and science type of a person. And so, so like even, you know, when I was in college, give me the problems to solve and, you know, put me in a lab and let me mix some chemicals up. But I'm finding myself more so in this role, helping a lot with, you know, helping them with, you know, papers and helping them format papers and helping them, you know, to write smoothly so it flows. So, so yeah, that's where I see a great need, is that they need help in terms of knowing how to write and knowing how to make it flow and make it sound good and, you know, APA format, you know, so all those things is where the need really is, because it translates over to pretty much a lot of the classes, you know, that they take, regardless of, you know, what the class is. You have to know how to write. And so that's why I'm saying that, you know, the need is very necessary. And I oftentimes see, you see a lot of learning specialist positions open too within college athletics. So it's definitely a need for sure.
Well, I'm going to push that out. I believe you've been the only, the first, not the only, but the first learning specialist here. And I think the fact that you came through the coaching ranks also gives light to those that, you know, you can stay in the game just not with the whistle.
And
then for those who want to go from education to education, you're very needed, especially if you already have a specialty in this area. And I don't know if you know, but I share often that I am dyslexic. And I didn't know that that was a thing until my 40s. And I thought dyslexia was about people with numbers mixed up. And, you know, and it was funny because if you told me your telephone number, and even if I wrote it down, I still would say it backwards. But it still didn't click to me that that was it. And, but I can't spell. And so if I can't spell, I can't pronounce. But mind you, I still made all A's. I remember my eighth grade year, I made all A's in middle school. I never made a C in college until chemistry, so, you know, I didn't go no further than that. And, girl, I was like, oh, no, this is it. And then, because for one thing, I don't follow directions. That's why I really can't cook with recipes. I can watch somebody cook something. But you talking about swifting? I mean, what the heck is a swifting? You know what I'm saying? What is kneading? You know, if you don't know what that is, you can't do the recipe.
Right.
And so I failed every spelling test in high school. But my English teacher knew I loved to write term papers. So I like to write, I love to read, and I love to plan. So it did not deter me from what my creativeness was about. You know, I posted a magazine, thank God, for Grammarly. So I'm going to close out to ask you this. How much do you utilize the tools that are out there now to assist with this, like Grammarly, MyChat, was it Chat, CHTPT or something like that? Are you using... Are these things enhancing or crippling our kids?
Ooh, I say crippling, because it's like they always want to take the easy route out instead of being in the trenches and putting in the work. So I think it's crippling in my opinion.
Okay, because like you said, let's put the reps in.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, even something as simple as now one thing I would say that I like that I feel is beneficial is like the site generators, you know, when they have to cite their references and all that. Now, I think that's a great tool, but you know, some of these other things, you know, it's just like, you know, you're doing the work for them. And then what happens is now you're getting them dinged for academic integrity. And so, you know, you're seeing a lot of that happening too, because they have it, you know, at their, it's exposed to them. So they take the easy way out.
Well, I want to say thank you for taking the time out with us today, because I know you're so busy. So thank you so much. And thank you to Jamla Harrison and Refined Solutions for being my eyes and ears. Everyone, join me next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for updates on show guests and podcasts, follow us on Facebook at Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.